Hello and welcome to the Software Engineering Unlocked podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Michaela, and today I have the pleasure to talk to Becca Harold-Weigel, a web developer and creator of the Virtual Coffee Developer Community. But before I start, let me tell you about an amazing startup that is sponsoring today's podcast, Codiga. Codiga is a code analysis platform that automates the boring part of code reviews and lets you merge with confidence on GitHub, GitLab, and Bitbucket. I've worked with Codiga for around 1 year now, and I really love how it guides me in discovering and improving, well, the not so nice part of my code base. But there's more. Codiga also has a coding assistant that helps you write better code faster, find and share safe and reusable blocks of code within your favorite IDE on demand while you're coding. Codiga has a great free plan, so there's nothing that stops you from giving it a try today. Learn more at codiga.io, that is codiga.io. But now back to Becca. Becca graduated from the bootcamp Flatiron School in May 2019. And since then, she started a consultancy specializing in front-end development and created the developer community Virtual Coffee. She also recently started her new job as a technical community builder at DeepGram. She's also a mom of four, so I'm totally impressed. And today I want to pick her brain on how she could develop this awesome virtual developer community so fast in just a little bit under 2 years. So welcome to my show, Becca. I'm really, really excited that you are here.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here too.
Yeah. So can you tell me a little bit about Virtual Coffee, what it is? And for me, it seems a little bit different than other communities. It seems a little bit more nit-grit, like closer. How would you describe it?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to describe it. We always like to say that we like the intimacy of Virtual Coffee because we're a small community of developers. We're all stages of the journey. So if you're just learning, if you've been doing it your whole career, we've got everybody and we're tech agnostic. So it doesn't matter what tech tools you're using. If you want to meet up with other developers and share and support each other, we're here for it. So we meet up twice a week. We meet up on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Eastern and Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for some chats. So we go into breakout rooms. So we have small group conversation. We like to maintain that intimacy. And then for members, so people who have attended at least one virtual coffee, they're welcome into our Slack and our members only events. So we have lunch and learns on most Fridays. We're running our third round of lightning talks soon. We've got monthly challenges and some other small groups that meet that are building within the Slack community, which is just so great to see everybody supporting each other and working to meet the needs of the community.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of things that you just mentioned, right? So Virtual Coffee, when I came to know it, it was mainly this bi-weekly, or I don't know if it was even bi-weekly at the start, but it was like these virtual coffees where you were seeing each other and you know, chatting to each other. And now it grew into something really big, right? And so you say it's a small community, but how large is it? Like, how many people are participating here? And, you know, what else do you do to keep this intimacy? Well, no, how do you say it?
Intimacy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, we've got, our Slack has almost 600 people in it, but I would like to just note that I think that, you know, there's a lot of people who used to be active that aren't active anymore. And one of the things about the community is we're really close, but it is transient in nature because sometimes people are looking for their first job and they get it and they can't come around much anymore. Sometimes people change jobs and their availability changes. So, you know, one of the things that we really like is being able to celebrate wins with other people. It's bittersweet a lot of times because you know that they won't be around much anymore. But, you know, like occasionally I'll get messages from people who came at the very beginning, and it's just so great to, you know, still have that connection and know that, you know, we support each other, whether we're in Slack or not. So I would say maybe we have about 200 to 300 active members, which I think is still pretty good. 30 to 50% of our Slack is fairly active. And I think, you know, we maintain that intimacy by focusing on small group conversation in a lot of ways. So the small group conversation that happens when we meet up on Zoom twice a week, we try and keep our breakout rooms between 8 and 14 people, but we always start in the big Zoom room together and we go over some announcements like our code of conduct and what the mission of Virtual Coffee is, a little bit of our history, just to allow people to get a glimpse of this is how long we've been doing things and this is how things have grown. And so, you know, by having that interaction with other people, by seeing faces or hearing voices or interacting in a synchronous way, it provides some kind of connection and friendship that doesn't happen as easily in async only environments. And then it's great to see what the community members are doing. We have, let's see here, we've got all of these small groups meeting within the community. And so this week, Tech Interview Study Group. These are all led by members. That happened on Monday. We have an Indie Hackers meetup on Wednesday, a React meetup on Wednesday, and a monthly challenge check-in on Friday. So, you know, the members are really there to support each other and to see what the needs are. And so not everybody's going to come to Indie Hackers. I like to go to that one. It's one of my favorites. You know, maybe there's like 6 to 8 people there, but it's great because you can really dive into those deeper conversations and get to know people in those small moments in ways that you can't when you're in a large group of people. So I think that's, you know, one of the things that we've done well is have people who care about each other and see them supporting each other and their needs.
Yeah, that sounds really good. And there are a couple of things that I want to touch base on that you mentioned. First of all, so I can imagine that there are like 100 people joining your Zoom, and then you have this announcement, you remember your members of what it's all about, which I think is really good for the mission also and for new members to, you know, just introduce them to your culture, a code of the conduct and so on. But then how do you announce the different breakout rooms? Do people speak up and say, oh, I want to do a breakout room? Is it like, I don't know if this is a term in English, but a bar camp where, you know, a non-conference where it just self-organizes itself, or do you have to announce it beforehand and you know already these are the topics of, you know, today's?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. So we also, I should have mentioned this before, because I think one of the ways that we also have been able to support everybody is we have documented most of our processes thoroughly, and that allows us to bring new volunteers on and to support new people. We think of pretty much every interaction as an opportunity for onboarding new members and to, you know, constantly remind people of the things that matter to us, which is, you know, being kind and recognizing that the impact of our words matters. And so we have all of that created, and we have, let's see, maybe about 30 room leaders and note takers. And so we have a process on Mondays where we see who's up for volunteering to be a room leader or note taker. And we pick a introduction question, just a random question. It can be something silly like, what kind of dinosaur would you be? And so everybody in the breakout rooms answers a couple of questions, including that. And we have a back pocket topic, but we always say that we like to prioritize what folks who are in the room want to talk about. So if they have a question or if they have a topic they want to talk about, we start with that. And then if not, we've got that back pocket topic. We had virtual coffee today, and our back pocket topic, I'll read it to you just so you have a sample of some of the things. Actually, all of them I think are listed on our discussions in our repository. But our topic today was, what are some transferable skills you bring to tech, either from a previous career or from other parts of your life? And so actually my breakout room did talk about that. And so everyone, so we have the MC who gives all of the announcements, and then we have a host who controls Zoom. And the host puts everybody into breakout rooms. So we already know who our room leaders and note takers are. Those have already been set up the day before. And so we make sure that they all get in the room, and we try and have backup ones. So, you know, if we need a fifth room, then we're going to have this person as a backup room leader, which today I think we did end up using our backup. And then the host goes through and fills all of those rooms. And we do our best. It gets chaotic when people come in late or at the end or drop off and come back in. But we do our best to make sure that we get pretty well-rounded room. So new folks, people who have been there for a while, you know that some people maybe are leading for the first time. And so you want to put some dependable talkers in their room. And so you try and make sure that you do that. But that's kind of the process for what we do and how we do it.
Wow, that sounds like you're having a conference. Yeah. And the organizational, like I say now burden, but burden, it doesn't seem like it's a burden to you, the organizational fun every week, twice. Sounds like a lot of work.
Now that we have the process down, it makes it a lot easier. And we've got some, you know, Slack bots reminding us about some of the things that we have to do and where to look for things. And it is a lot of fun. There is definitely work behind the scenes that happens to make sure that we have a safe and welcoming environment for everyone. But, you know, it's worth it if people feel like this is a safe space that they can grow in.
Yeah, definitely. And I can really see, like, with this organization, I mean, probably if you know, like, if you started, there are like five people coming, you know, showing up, you don't need a lot of organization, right? But then if it's 10 people, and then it's 20, then, you know, you start developing those processes. And you probably see also what works and what does not work. What are some of the things that you tried that didn't work out so well?
Well, I will say that when I first started virtual coffee, I didn't even know that Zoom had breakout rooms. So that was a totally new concept to me. And I feel like I've got some expertise in it. Initially, so virtual coffee started. I had been working as a developer for about 8 months when the pandemic hit. And then I lost my job because of the pandemic. My kids were sent home from school that same day. They never went back to school that year, I think. And so I was really interviewing for the first time for jobs, and I just didn't have a great sense of the developer community out there, what the expectations were, how to make it through the interview process. And so I asked, you know, hey, does anybody want to meet up for virtual coffee on Twitter? And that's why we're still called virtual coffee. And so I've learned so much. And initially I was kind of resistant to having a Slack because, oh, I don't know if we need it. You know, this is just going to be something we do for a couple of months. So I would say that maybe some of the things that didn't work were, you know, pushing some of those things off for a while or being resistant to adding. We lean on project boards and GitHub issues a lot in our organization. We want to make sure that we use tools where our members lived. And so initially I was resistant. I was like, I cannot look at one more repository, please, no more. And now I'm like, yes, yeah, we need a repository for that. So I think that my the thing that didn't work was my frame of mind around it, because for a long time I thought this was going to be a temporary thing. And when we did our first Hacktoberfest event 2 years ago, that's when I finally thought, oh, this is, we're not going anywhere. This is not just a pandemic thing. Like, we're filling a need for a lot of people, even outside of the pandemic. And so that's kind of where things started shifting in my mind. Like, what are the long-term processes and how can we make this sustainable?
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah, I'm also like, I'm often thinking of creating a community around SE Unlocked, for example, the podcast, right? But I'm not sure about how it will, you know, what are the right tools? What is the right kind of community? I'm also more a person of, like, I'm not really a good participant in Slack channels and Discord channels. Get very easily overwhelmed. And then, you know, like maybe a week I'm trying really hard, but if it already starts with that, you know, I don't think that I can run a community like this. But having, you know, chats or, you know, Zoom conversations, I was also thinking about Twitter Spaces. Is that something that came to your mind that you could maybe do as well? Or
yeah, so I ran a lot of Twitter Spaces myself. I went through a string of them. I was doing them weekly. And then I started live streaming, I think, instead, just trying to get a feel for everything that's out there. But I think with my job at DeepGram, we're going to start doing some Twitter Spaces that I'm really excited about because of the support of the team. And we can do some really great stuff to start build community and fill some of the needs that we see out there in the tech community right now.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think that there's a difference between a Zoom? A Zoom seems a little bit more intimate for me because, you know, it's a community that's not completely public. It's public, right? Because people can just respond and be part of it. But Twitter Spaces, for me, just because it's there on Twitter and then you see at least some of the bubbles and then it's broadcasted through other, you know, through the followers of the people that are in there and so on. People can drop in and go out. Do you think it's different and has a different need or fills a different need, a different purpose for the community?
For sure. I think, you know, there are expectations when you meet with other people in a small group setting face to face, you know, we say, like, if you want to leave your camera off, if you want to stay muted, that's totally fine. If you want to throw things in the chat, that's a great way to communicate as well. But still, you see other people there. Whereas Twitter Spaces, you can kind of come in and out. There's not the sense of, oh, I have a role here that I have to fill, because you're not a speaker. You can be a listener. And so in some ways, it's Twitter Spaces, I think, is closer to watching a live stream because you can interact through the chat, but it's a little bit more personal because if someone's live streaming at Twitch, on Twitch, you don't see everybody who is there. But in Twitter Spaces, you can see those other mm-hmm. people. And they do connect you to other, like, you know, if we follow each other, I can see whose space you're in. I'm like, oh, okay, well, she's there and that she's cool. So I'm going to go check out, you know, what she's listening to. And so there's, a little bit maybe more community happening in Twitter Spaces, but there's less like barrier to entry or friction if you're shy or an introvert or, you know, just kind of want to check something out one time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So another thing that I wanted to talk with you, and I think they're a little bit connected. One is that, so I looked on your website, virtualcoffee.io, and there are a couple of people publicly listed, right? And apparently they are not all of them. Not everybody wants to be listed there or hasn't added themselves, but a couple of people are really listed there. And then I also saw that there are different roles, right? You were also talking about the different roles for the meetings, but there were two particular ones that were like labeled there, and one was the org maintainer and the other was the community maintainer. So what are those two roles? Is that all the roles that you have, and how do you select people, or how are people selecting themselves to be in those roles?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And it's kind of evolved over time. We've had so many people step up and offer support and offer help. And Sarah McCombs, they were really great support at the beginning of Virtual Coffee and making sure that we got this stuff done and helping build out these processes. And when we launched our first Hacktoberfest, we had a whole team that was focused on that. And a number of the people who were on that team ended up coming on as maintainers. I'm both a core maintainer and a community maintainer an org maintainer rather. And what that means is we kind of look at the overall organization, the health, the strategy, where should we go from here? What decisions need to be made in terms of the entire organization? Whereas I would say the community maintainers are looking more at the day-to-day, the community management, project planning, that kind of more day-to-day focus, I guess, and making sure that the team is supported there. So we all work together as a core team and we make decisions together, and there's always going to be overlap in all of those things. But it's funny that you ask about these roles, because I was just working on this actually. We have some team leads and they should be going up on the site. They're already listed there, but you know, we have leads for our monthly challenges. That's Arlie Verreau and Andrew Bush for our audio visual stuff. So getting things put up on YouTube, helping with live streams, that's Bogdan. For documentation, we just onboarded a new team lead named Ayu, who's absolutely great. I met with her this morning to kind of like walk through the process of, you know, how do we prioritize what needs documented? Where do we put these things? And she's so great about, you know, asking questions and getting issues up on the site before I even think about them. So I hope I didn't miss anybody. I know that we've worked a number of other people as well to support the organization, but I think that those will go up on the site soon. We want to also have like a community health team lead, and we're talking to someone about doing that. job search is a big thing at Virtual Coffee. It doesn't matter what stage you are, somebody's always looking for a job. And so we have some great folks who do a lot of work on that. And so, you know, that might be up on there soon too. So, you know, I think we're in the phase where we're trying to figure out how do we best support our members and help provide those leadership opportunities that we want to.
Yeah, yeah. So when you describe all of that, it seems to me this is a full-time job already. But so how much time does really go into that? I mean, there is the meetings themselves, right, that you're participating, and I'm not part of Virtual Coffee because I don't have the time to do it as a participant. So I can imagine you have to be at the meetings, you have to plan the meetings, and there's the chat, and you're making all these, you have all these thoughts and meetings also with other members of the community, how to grow the community, how to, you know, keep it alive and make it healthy. So how much time of your week goes into that? I can imagine a lot.
I don't know. That's a good question. At some point, I just like stopped keeping track of how much time was going into it because it was a lot. And it's not a job, right? It's a volunteer position. But I think, you know, now we have so many supportive members, and with the core team that I'm able to do, we're all able to do a lot more and to lean on each other and to grow in that way. And a lot of the stuff is almost like muscle memory now. You know, I've been doing it for so long that it doesn't feel like it's one more thing to do. There are always things that, you know, I have a whole board of things I would love to do for Virtual Coffee. And I have to try and pace myself because sometimes I go for it anyway, and then I'm full into something and I'm like, oh, I might die after this. So I try to avoid that feeling now.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I've seen on the GitHub page, there's some sponsoring going on, right? Are there other ways that you're monetizing this community, or that the community monetizes itself, that it, you know, has some budget around that you can also do cool stuff?
So right now, sponsorships, we launched sponsorships maybe in September. And so up to that point, we were just paying out of pocket for everything. But sponsorships is the primary way that we cover our costs. We had a monthly challenge sponsorship, which was nice. We have the podcast. There's opportunities for sponsorship there. Oh, we just launched a store. So,
oh yeah, cool.
That's really exciting. It's just really exciting to see people like wearing the Virtual Coffee logo,
and cool,
sharing their stickers. So those are some ways that we're working on covering the cost of what we want to do, and then, you know, like hopefully providing new services in the future.
Yeah. I think at one point you have to think about it, because even like the Slack is probably not free, right? You have to pay per member.
So we are on the free version of Slack because it costs, I think, $6 per member per month.
Yeah, I saw
and
that, right?
No way that we could cover that.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a free version of that as well, because I looked into that. I thought like maybe, you know, Slack channel, and then I saw like $6. Oh my God, not possible.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Discord, we've gone back and forth about it. It has a lot of great tools. We're just not in love with the user experience of Discord. But, you know, we have costs. So one of the things that we have put a lot of money into Zoom, because we have accounts for our core team, but also we have a co-working room that stays open all the time. So folks can join in Slack, and the co-working room is always open. So that's its own account. We, you know, producing a podcast can be costly, you know, producing transcripts and providing the services for that. We've got like Zapier and Airtable. So, you know, like we're using all of these tools that we can to, you know, make things a little bit easier for us, but do cost money. And so we try and keep our costs minimal, but, you know, there are some, but I think that we are covered right now for our monthly costs by our sponsorships, which is really, really great.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, that's really cool. So what would you say to the listeners today that would like to, you know, start their own community, have a community, what would be the MVP, MVP version of a community that you, you know, from your experience would suggest to them? Should they start with Twitter Spaces, or should they have like a meeting or a Slack or a Discord channel? You know, what are the options and what are the pros and cons for each one of those?
That's a really great question. I think that, first of all, I feel strongly that there are a lot of really great communities already out there, and a lot of them really need support. So if you are not all on board in starting your own community, explore some of those and see how you can help, because you know you might be able to be on a core team or something that allows you the experience that you want from that. So I'm not convinced that every person needs to start their own community, but I would say that I think trying to fill a need within the community is a really great way to start one, because if you see that there's a gap or that people are asking for things, or, you know, like one of the things, we've been doing virtual coffee for almost 2 years now, and we get the same questions in our Zoom sessions all the time. And so I can tell that there's a real need for more work to be done around interviewing, about supporting junior developers, about creating positive workspaces. So for sure, there are needs for groups that focus on those things. And then I would say, for me, if you start a Slack or a Discord, that's probably the most time-consuming thing that you can do. Because you want to keep people engaged, you want to keep them talking, you need to answer questions. So if you don't have a core group of people, then it's going to be a lot of work to try and keep up with that. I also think that we're in the pandemic now, and people have been collecting Slacks and Discords. And when things in the pandemic start to ease up, we'll see that a lot of those communities, I think, start to fade off, just because, you know, people are going to prioritize the couple that they'll keep and stay active with. And then they're going to be, you know, doing in real life stuff. Events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Which is good. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Really. So, I mean, thinking about like, okay, maybe you want to then create some kind of hybrid model, or, you know, do an online meetup that translates into an in-person thing. Or if in-person's not your thing, then, you know, figure out how you can build your online environment around that. So I think it's tricky because it's not one size fits all, but you know, in person or async, if you're a really async person, then Slack or Discord is a great way to go. So yeah, there's a lot there.
Yeah, I think it probably really about personality as well. I think a lot of people really enjoy writing and, you know, participating in this asynchronous conversation, even though they are often very synchronous, right, in Discord. That's why I always feel like I miss that conversation. Oh, I miss that conversation as well. And then I just leave without writing anything. Like, anyway. So the last question that I have for you is, you just started as a technical community builder at DeepGram. What are you doing there? Are you doing actually the same thing that you just learned yourself, and you know, like you're a master now and the expert here for DeepGram, or what's your role there?
Yeah, it's kind of, I feel like it's been such a good fit for me. My background, I spent 10 years teaching college English. And so DeepGram is a speech to text AI company. And so there are so many different experts in different fields there. So, you know, whether it's data science or linguistics or engineering and, you know, the DevRel team, I get to, you know, talk to everybody and understand where they're coming from. But I sit on the DevRel team as the technical community builder. So I can do DevRel-y things. I can write if I want to. I can contribute code. But my focus is on creating those systems and processes for community and the external community at DeepGram. But I always say that your community starts with the internal community. You want to make sure that you have a strong internal community before trying to start an external community, because you have to have that support network to help you and that trust to be in guidance. So I'm doing, you know, some educating. I am doing, well, hopefully some speaking in the near future, and hopefully some writing and building out that community strategy and trying to figure out, you know, how can we fill a need in the tech community, or how can we support existing communities out there? So it is, it's pretty much a mixture of everything I've ever done in my life to this point. And it's been really fun in the first 3 weeks, you know, having a team to work with on that.
Yeah, sounds super exciting. Yeah, I can imagine everything coming together for you, and you can really strive now with the competencies that you, I think, not only developed, you probably had already from the beginning, right? Because it's not something that you make the first virtual coffee. I think a lot of people did that, and then it grows into something that's, you know, so prominent in the deaf community as well, so well-rounded. So yeah, so congratulations to that. And thank you so much for sharing so much about the process and about virtual coffee, how it worked. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Is there something that you want to tell our listeners? Maybe how can they sign up for virtual coffee? Is that, you know, do you have to have some commitment there or accountability?
That's a great question. So we make everybody come to at least one virtual coffee before getting an invitation into our Slack. And that's to, you know, help them experience, you know, our community and to see what it's like, because, you know, we feel that we demonstrate that pretty well in those meetings. And so it's really figure out if it's the community for you, because it's not the community for everyone. We all have different needs and things that we like and don't like. And so if it's for you, then it's great. Then join our Slack, fill out our new member form. You can find those events at virtualcoffee.io/events. So come and check out a virtual coffee, and that would be great.
Yeah, cool. I will link everything in the show notes. And Becca, thank you so much for talking to me, being here today with me. I enjoyed it a lot.
Great. Thanks so much. Can I mention one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
I was going to say too, if you follow Deepgram Devs on Twitter, I think we'll be running some very cool Twitter spaces through there soon. So if you want to check out some Twitter spaces, you can do that as well. And thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
Yeah, I really loved it. Okay. Thank you, Becca. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
This was another episode of the Software Engineering Unlocked podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, please help me spread the word about the podcast. Send the episode to a friend via email, Twitter, LinkedIn, well, whatever messaging system you use, or give it a positive review on your favorite podcasting platform such as Spotify or iTunes. This would mean really a lot to me. So thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye.